rise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, there came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. We're going to take that Bible story today, make some points and make some application. And I want to start out by saying, as I look around the room, we've got a bunch of visitors here. I'm glad you're here. A lot of people here with family today. Come back another time and hear one of the normal preachers. You know, do that. Come back and hear Mark and Tony. They do a great job. So come back and be with us in another time. Let's pay attention today as we talk about the story of the Ethiopian eunuch just a minute. You notice it says in verse 27, he had been to Jerusalem to worship God. What are some things and some facts that we can gather from the Bible story that I read? Number one, it seems this man had a deep devotion to Judaism. He was a devout, trying to follow. He'd been to Jerusalem to worship God. He would have been a Gentile. And if you think about Acts 2, when the establishment of the church at Pentecost, I don't know how much time had passed, but probably not a lot, between what's recorded in Acts 2 and this salvation story that's repeated in Acts 8. Maybe while he was there, he had heard some teaching. Now, if you think about today, if Jesus had come to our time today, I have to believe that around the city of Jerusalem, there was a lot of buzz, wasn't there? People talking about what they had seen. what they had heard, the fact that Jesus' ministry, His teaching, possibly even His death. When we look at the man, the eunuch that the story is told about, what do we see? You know, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Joseph in the Bible. I heard a story, Lonnie Jones, a lesson Lonnie told one day. This man, probably not by choice, got to the position that he was in. At some point, he is a slave to the queen, but he has risen to be very high official in the government. The Bible reads that he had charge of all the treasury. So here he is, he's developed respect and authority. He's become a high government official. I want you to think just a minute of the impact that the eunuch could have back in his own homeland. Think about that, what happened in this lesson, and the impact that could happen and the good that he could do as he traveled back to his homeland. Point number two, he wasn't saved while he was in Jerusalem. He may have heard the apostles preaching. He may have heard lessons. But for some reason, that wasn't the time and place that this man was saved. You know, at the time, Peter and John were preaching in Samaria. The apostles, some were in Jerusalem. Some had scattered because of the persecution, the stoning of Stephen, the things that had happened. But the Bible tells us that as Philip had left and he had gone and was preaching in Samaria, and he was heading back to Jerusalem, and divine intervention happened, didn't it? We had a divine intervention where an angel of the Lord directly directed Philip to encounter the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, this is the same Philip we read about in the book of Acts who oversaw the feeding of the Hellenistic Jewish widows in Acts 6, 1 through 6. He had fled Jerusalem because of the persecution, and one of the great persecutors of the time was Saul. Saul that later became Paul. But the church was being persecuted. Philip had left. He had preached in Samaria. He had headed back. And the Bible records in Acts 8, 4 through 7, he'd gone to Samaria where he performed many amazing signs. He'd been proclaiming Jesus. He'd been performing miracles. He'd been preaching to the people in the land of Samaria. You know, he was led, it says, by the Spirit to run and catch the eunuch, the chariot that the eunuch was riding in. And as we look at that point, when he got up there to the chariot, verse 28 says, he heard the eunuch reading from the book of Isaiah. I'm going to turn now to Isaiah 53:7-8. We read that and we covered that in the other, but let's look at it again. Let's look at the verses that this man was reading, and I'll read it this time out of the book of Isaiah. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. As I prepared a little bit for this lesson, and I encourage you to do so, to put it into context and to think about what the eunuch was going through. You know, it says he was there reading Isaiah, and this was the point that he got to. Go back and read from the beginning of that chapter. The other verses related to what he was reading to kind of get to a point of maybe understanding where he was in his studies and in his beliefs at this point. You know, another interesting thing as I prepared, it said a scroll in that day and time that he was reading from cost a great amount of money. Wasn't something that was just readily available. So I think that says something about the man too, that he was willing to invest a large amount of money into this scripture that he was reading. You know, what was the question that Philip asked in verse 30? He asked the eunuch, "Do you understand what it is you're reading?" It seemed like an open invitation for Philip and Philip. The eunuch replied, "How could I unless someone guides me? How can I unless someone tells me?" Does that apply to us today? Think about it. All the lost out there that don't have Jesus unless somebody goes and tells them, right? And tells them the message. I'll get to that point just a little bit later. In verse 35, it states that he preached Jesus to him from the Scripture. Can you imagine what Philip might have said to the eunuch? Think about that in your mind for just a minute. What did Philip tell him? I have to believe the message that Philip shared would be the same message if we were asked the question today. Should be. Right? We should use the same message that Philip used some 2,000 years ago. You know, the steps haven't changed over the past 2,000 years for how to become a Christian. The accounts we read about in the book of Acts are relevant for us today. They form a perfect pattern of how to become a Christian today. The result of Philip preaching Jesus to the eunuch, you know, the message of Jesus touched the heart, pricked the heart of the man who heard it. The eunuch obviously had some understanding of the message that Philip preached because he said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" You know, you think all kind of led by God, but here they are in the middle of the desert and water is available at the time that the story needs the divine ending of Philip led to this man. Verse 38, the eunuch was baptized, and verse 39, he went on his way rejoicing. Like we said, the eunuch demonstrated understanding. They rode a little farther. There was water. We know that he realized what he had been taught because the Bible said that at that time he was baptized right then and he went on his way rejoicing. Couple of comments, and I want to apply this story to us today as I bring the lesson to a close. I want to make some application points to us today. The Bible is the greatest instruction book known to humanity. Bar none, it is the instruction book best one known to humanity. It contains specific laws and commands, and it is also full of illustrations with clear examples and application for our benefit. You know, in Acts, we're only looking at one conversion account today, but in the 11 conversion accounts recorded, they're all clear examples that illustrate the principles that are laid out in the Great Commission. The Great Commission is familiar to all of you. I have it on the screen. It says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go there and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." I want you to think about that a minute. The 11 conversion accounts in the book of Acts specifically illustrate the acting out, the illustration for us today of Jesus' command Himself in that's recorded in Matthew 18 through 20. Do we see that? Do we really see that going into all the world, and then we see all the accounts and the examples of how that transpired? The Bible is a reference book that shows God's marvelous plan of salvation for sinners. So the applications that I'd like to make today that we can take specifically from the Bible account of the Ethiopian eunuch's conversion are as follows. You know what? Baptism, the right way, for the right reason, is just as important today as it was 2,000 years ago. It hadn't changed. It hadn't changed at all. Peter's instruction to the new church that was formed at Pentecost in Acts 2:38, he said, "Believe, repent, and confess, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins." And I'm here to tell you today, the message hadn't changed. It applies to us today. You know, at this point, the message is clear. Peter's instruction would discredit infant baptism because an infant doesn't have sin. Think about that. Peter tells those that are with sin to be baptized. An infant doesn't have sin. So that would discredit the thought of baptism for that reason. You know, baptizo, the Greek word, means an immersion. We see that from this conversion experience that both Philip and the eunuch went into the water. Water big enough for them to go down in, to be immersed in. And I think this point discredits the idea of sprinkling. You know, the eunuch probably had a canteen or a wine sack, and if sprinkling was good enough, they could have just put some of that on his head. But they found water, and the Bible records that both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. You know, in a Bible study I had one time with a person of another religion, I think 1 Peter 3:21 to me is a pretty clear verse. It answers a lot of questions. It takes a lot away. The verse reads, "There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God." I'm here to tell you today that this verse discredits the notion that so many believe today that you're saved first and you're baptized to join a church. 1 Peter 3:21 clearly states it's during the act of baptism where salvation occurs. Man cannot join the church that's talked about in the Bible. For Acts 2:47 says, "And the Lord added to the church those that were being saved." We are baptized into Christ's death and contact His blood. Galatians 3:27 and Romans 6:3 and 4. For the Bible reads, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death?" Finally, after Christ's death, the Scripture that's very familiar to us in Ephesians 4:4 through 6, there's only one right baptism out there. 4:4 through 6, you probably remember, talks about the one body, the one Spirit, the one Lord, the one faith, the one baptism, the one God. And I'll say this today, I don't believe we can be taught wrong, not understand the truth in regards to baptism, and then be baptized right. And we have to follow the pattern that is in the Bible. Lastly, you know, the eunuch rejoiced at the idea of being saved. The Bible records that he went on his way rejoicing. How do we react to Christianity today? Do we rejoice? Was that rejoicing something when we came down the aisle and were baptized for the first time? Or do we maintain that rejoicing about the fact that we're different, that we're going to heaven, that we have that salvation? I challenge you today to think about the joy that comes from being a Christian. Do you have that joy? If you don't, you can. You can have that joy back. And in the examples in Acts, someone shared the message of Jesus with each person that was saved. You know, our theme this year goes along with "Lead Some Soul to Christ This Year." As I was talking to Sam between Sunday school and church, I'm going to use an example in closing that he mentioned to me. He called it, "What if?" What if I walked in the auditorium today and my button was unbuttoned? Would somebody tell me? What if I was driving down the road and the person next to me, gas cap was open? What if? Would I flag them down and try to tell them? What if they've got a flat tire and they don't realize it? And you can go on and relate the story to something that's happened in your life. But I can't help but think, in the examples in Acts, in every case, someone shared Jesus. What if the world is dying, our family members are dying, our community is dying, are we willing to share the message of Jesus with them like we would tell somebody if something so trivial was going on, or are we just going to walk on by? Think about that. Plan to make a change in your life this year. My final slide today before I extend the invitation. When the Great Commission is combined with the examples in Acts, it becomes possible to not to recognize that in the first century, men and women who wanted to follow Christ were required to hear and receive the gospel teaching, believe that message, confess Jesus, repent of wrongs, and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins. That message hadn't changed over the past 2,000 years. It's the same today as it was then. If you're here today and you haven't taken those steps, why not? Take the step out when we sing the song, come forward, let us help you. If you've lost your enthusiasm about being a Christian, if you have problems in your life that we can help you with, come forward at this time as we stand and sing.